Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Well, that'll switch our topics. We go from one problematic Pittsburgh athlete to another. We were going to talk George Pickens. Instead, surprising news. I don't care how bad Jari has been. It is very surprising news that the Penguins are placing him on waivers at 2 p.m. Josh Yoey had tweeted out that he thought he was hearing the Penguins were at a breaking point with Tristan Jarry, and then the next thing you know, like seconds later, he's on waivers, Bob. Man, is there a lot here. First, it's one of Kyle Dubas's first big signings. Remember, they went out, they visited with Jarry, and, you know, were convinced he was the guy. He's Sully's guy. Obviously, Sullivan had a lot to do with that signing. It's sort of that the decisions that are going haywire in this organization remind me of the Steelers at this time. Like, Sully's best thinking was that Tristan Jarry's the guy, so he lobbies for him, and Dubas makes him one of his first signings to a lucrative, you know, for a really good goalie at $5.4 million. It's not going to bankrupt your franchise, but it's going to damage your franchise, you know, to sign him, whatever he did. What was it, 5 years, $27 million, something like that. He still has 3 years after this season at $5.4 million, and he's just a complete and utter disaster. He's fallen apart. He's forgotten how to play the position. It's hideous. He has an .886 goal save percentage, which is 48th in the league, Bob, which would be pretty good in a 500-team league, but there's only 30-some teams. And he's 48th. But guess what the real bad news is?
Nedeljkovic's numbers are worse.
Yes. Bingo.
That's what I said the other day. I was looking at this, and I said, how is it possible that the Penguins can give up a goal 9 times on the first shot they face? Any goalie.
It's ridiculous.
And if you look at the majority of their games, other teams score within the first 5 shots on goal. Now, last night was another example, a shorthanded opportunity for Chandler Stephenson. So, Jarry, it's a shot he has to make. It's a save he has to make. There's nobody blocking anything. Make the save. And he gets beat shorthanded on the second shot on goal of the game.
Well, he's horrible at the beginning of games. I've never seen these numbers that have come out on his first shot goals. And he's horrible at the ends of games, and he ain't that great in between either. I just read somewhere where 41% of his goals he's given up in the third period. He's just...
Well, last night's a prime example.
Yeah.
You know, the other guy, Joey Decord, stole the game. You heard Jay Caulfield talk about that. He was really good, and he's been playing really good for Dan Bylsma. But, again, those 3 goals are on the first 13 shots. Total was 3 for 17, but 3 on 13. And the one on Oleksiak... While I understand the defense has to do maybe a better job of shutting down the middle of the ice so he skates in, but it is Jamie Oleksiak after all. And it's a short side goal. I wouldn't expect that. You know, the game winner was a good play. But two of the goals last night I thought were on him.
Man, when you look at it, didn't this whole thing kind of begin with that Islander series and him giving the series away?
Bob? That pass up the middle, which was stolen?
Yeah.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. And yeah, he was just, he was horrific, and he lost them a series, basically. And it was all about, it felt like mental gaffes, and that he never really lived that down, right? He's only played in one playoff game since then. It was game 7 against the Rangers when he played with the broken foot, which was admirable. But people went a little overboard with his performance in game 7. He gave up the game tying goal late in regulation and the game losing goal early in overtime, and gave up 4 in the game, and had the worst save percentage of any Penguins goaltender in any game in that series. And they had Mr. Broccoli and Beef for 3 games. Remember?
Yeah. So, I do remember.
This is a disaster.
Louis Domingue.
Wonderful man. I called his parents.
Yeah, I thought it was a great story. It was. Yeah. It almost reminded me of the one long ago when the Moose, Johan Hedberg, came out of nowhere, and everybody's like, Moose. And then the Hedberg sign was, the Heidelberg was changed to Hedberg, and everybody's going nuts.
Except that Sooner Hedberg or later, won a playoff series or
right.
two.
No, but I'm saying that kind of rallying to to a guy.
This is one of those strange stories where a guy, he actually had or has still some pretty good overall numbers in his career, but he fell apart. You know what it is? It's a Pedro Alvarez story.
Yeah.
That's honestly what it is, and it's a sad one. And it can happen in sports where somebody who's very talented, and I don't think anybody would disagree that Jari's very talented and who has had success at the highest level. Go look at this dude's career numbers. He's won a ton of games. He has a pretty good save percentage overall. Has something happen, and then the mental part of the game falls apart like it did for Pedro. This is what's happened with Tristan Jarry. And he's never been a guy that they can depend on when the chips are down. He's had disasters in the playoffs and late in seasons. You remember they were trying to make the playoffs a couple years ago. He melted down in that Chicago game where they almost blew the first pick. It's a very, very strange story. And it's coming to a bad ending.
Well, here's the next thing that has to happen or won't happen or maybe will happen. If someone claims him, which I doubt because they then would be obligated for his entire salary. Is that correct? If you pick him up, you're...
Yes, okay. I believe so.
So if you're obligated to pick him up, you're going to pick up that salary. Who needs a goalie that badly right now? Maybe somebody does. But if he doesn't, that means he could return to AHL Wilkes-Barre Scranton, which I think is probably what they would want. And have him try to figure it out, even though they've tried before. But then this cap hit, I asked Josh about this, and he was kind enough to reply, they'd be obligated for $1.1 million of a cap hit, not the entire or whatever it is. So it gives you a little cap relief, I suppose. And if that's the case, then you may be able to do something. And I asked Jay about this. I said, are we getting to the point where Kyle Dubas is getting a little frustrated to the point he does something? I didn't know it would be so soon.
Yeah,
but
so
then
dramatic.
The next question would be, okay, maybe he's priming himself for some sort of trade. You know,
well, this tells you they couldn't find a taker, right?
Well, I'm not talking about trade for him. I'm talking about somebody else. Use money, cap relief, so that you can make a trade to bring in something could help them.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would be at this point, but there are a lot of things that could help them.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing that does come to mind for me, though, is that obviously nobody wanted Jarry, or they would have dealt him for anything, for a 7th-round pick. And I don't even know if there is 7 rounds in that draft anymore. Bob, this became clear late last season when Nedeljkovic went on that really good run, you remember? But then he started to fall off toward the tail end of the season, and Jarry was healthy, and Mike Sullivan refused to turn to a healthy Jarry at the end of last season.
Yeah, he rode Nedeljkovic all the way.
Just refused to turn to him, and that made me think that he's done here. And for all intents and purposes, he was done here. He couldn't get the Penguins into the playoffs 2 years ago, lost 3 of 5 games in April. He lost 8 of his final 10 decisions last season. He had the Islanders meltdown. Other than that, he's been Mr. Clutch around here, Bob. It's a disaster.
Yeah, and they tried everything they could to change it, to get him back. you know, time with a goalie coach. I don't know if they've gone to hypnosis or not. A lot of times that's been used more in sports today. Sometimes we could use that here in the studio, I think. A little hypnosis will help me, especially when you're getting all the golf invites and I'm being neglected. But
yes.
But I think, you know, now the question is, what happens with him? If no one claims him, he's going to go back, and how do they work with him? What do they expect? A bigger question right now, goalie has been their biggest problem this year. Biggest. Their power play has gotten back on track. They're number five in the league, so they're actually doing some good things by splitting up the people for first and second units. But what do you do in goaltending? It's got to be Steph or Joel Blomqvist. And
it
has
to be. Yeah.
His name last night, just on a separate tweet. Joel, I was watching, and I said, it's time. If they can't do that now, when will they ever do it, and how many points must you give up? This is a critical seven-game road trip. They are falling into, you know, no man's land. Here is time running out. They got to make a play. If they're going to make a play to get in, they got to do it now, and so this is the first step, but I don't think it's the last step.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Nedeljkovic's numbers are even worse. However, from every indication we get from the likes of Josh Yeo and people who cover the team, the players respond to Nedeljkovic. They like him. And there has always seemed to be...
But you get to a point where how long can you count on that?
I agree. There has to be production. But with Jari, it just seemed like, I don't know, they didn't trust him. I don't know if it's that they didn't like him. He seems like a good enough guy. And then there was the strange trip earlier this season where Jari told Yoey that he was going to be able to visit relatives out in Western Canada and was looking forward to it. He was already on the trip and got sent home. Remember?
Yeah, I do.
And demoted. He was demoted before that. The whole thing's been strange. Clearly, they've been trying to get rid of him, and there's no takers around the NHL. No takers. And this is a poor reflection on Dubas and on Mike Sullivan. It really is.
Yeah, I think
the
what you said is true.
The fact they signed him.
Sullivan always had his back, and you know, and eventually his wallet, because he got fatter in that wallet. And so, you know, Kyle Dubas knew that. He seems to really, when he first came here, defer to Mike Sullivan quite a bit, and I understand why. He's been around. He has a good relationship with these players. I think he knows the players. But he let that dictate perhaps what was going to be a long-term contract, when at the time a lot of people thought, you know, if you're going to do it for a couple of years. There's no need to go 5 years with him, especially at that price. That's not an overwhelming price, by the way. Goalies are a lot of goalies make more. But for him,
that was a lot,
given what he had shown of late prior to signing that.
It was the term more than anything for that. It was almost as if, wait, if we didn't sign him, somebody else was going to outbid you? Did they bid against themselves there? And I guess in the end, Bob, I think that Tristan Jarry is to Mike Sullivan what Kenny Pickett was to Mike Tomlin.
Yep.
Man, you put your marbles in the wrong basket, I would say.
Yeah,
and when it happens,
it sets you back. I mean, that's how tough and competitive things are in professional sports.
Do you put
one or two bad moves, you could put yourself in a bad situation.
Do you put marbles in a basket, Bob?
But they have a couple of young goaltenders in their system.
Yeah.
Not named Joel Blomqvist, who can maybe be, you know, down the road, people who come up and play.
Well, this much has become clear with the Penguins' play recently, and I think that pretty much ends it. I don't really care now about this seven-game road trip. They need to tear it down in so many ways. They need to trade Raquel. They need to trade Pettersson. They need to trade whoever they can.
I don't know they're going to trade. I understand your thought there
because
he is playing. Well,
which one?
Again,
Raquel?
Raquel. And he's having a wonderful year. Stock's extremely high.
Exactly.
But I got to believe that Kyle Dubas is not going. He's been walking this line between future and present. I don't think he's going to get off
that line.
That's
what I'm saying. Try it.
Okay.
It's time to stop walking the line.
As Jay Caulfield said, the Eastern Conference is a mosh pit of same kind of teams.
Right.
You can still get into the playoffs, and I think they want that because as the business revenue side of this, they haven't had it for 2 years. They need playoff series. And if they don't get it,
I mean, if they're depending on that on the business side, then they're in really bad shape.
I think
people aren't going to the games.
That's why they want to do it, and that's why I don't think they'll get – plus that line has been very productive. If you have any shot, that line has to remain together.
I think right now Raquel is – see, these other ways that Dubas has been, quote, you know, building for the future is with low-round picks. Raquel might net you a very nice return here right now with the way he's playing. Maybe a second-round pick?
Again, in hockey, to me, now – You look around the league, there's some guys who fit on third and fourth round. The Penguins did it before.
Sure. With Rust,
with Gensel, with Connor Sherry, with whoever. But the likelihood of that turning into a player who can actually help you is probably very low compared to...
That's why you want to accumulate as many of those picks
as you
can.
I understand, but you want first-round picks.
Yes. Well, could Raquel...
Do you think Raquel will get a first-round?
Maybe not. No.
Maybe not. Maybe for a team that gets injured and has some, they need scorers and he's hot, maybe. But unless I got that, I wouldn't trade him.
See the East being a mosh pit, as you say, I think helps the Penguins because more teams delusionally believe they can win it. So you'll have more buyers, and therefore it could become more of a seller's
market. But you can be
market.
One of those teams too.
Well, that's the point.
Who's to say that
don't be Joel one of those teams.
But who's to say that Joel Blomqvist couldn't come up here and be this year's Binnington from St. Louis,
okay.
Where he comes up and he gets on a hot streak and they win a Stanley Cup. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
So you're
what saying I'm
saying the Penguins
is,
should add to try to win?
Because they're in a mosh pit. He may be doing this to
Are
clear the way
to should...
add. I'm saying what Dubas may be thinking.
He's saying,
I'm gonna clear some cap space. I'm going to try to make a trade that helps this team right here, right now.
They're
because
done,
they
Bob.
Have a. I don't care.
They stink. First of all,
how about
we just watch them?
I'm just saying, if Binnington can do it out of nowhere, why wouldn't you think Blomqvist?
Binnington couldn't? Had a really good team around him.
I understand that. Maybe he'll make a trade to bring in some sort of stud defenseman who could probably come to Sidney Crosby's aid when Adam Larson hits him in the back in a cheap shot.
Probably. Yeah. Listen, if your idea, well, I think maybe we both have the same idea. Go with the young guys. And if it gets better, great.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Trade Raquel.
Okay.
He's your most marketable trade asset.
I don't
think
they've reached that point. I would be surprised. I think they're going to try still
Bob,
to figure out a way. But go to the mind of Kyle Dubas. If you came here and three straight years you're not in the playoffs, and your goalie situation, which haunts you in Toronto, you got to try to get into playoffs. I don't think Fenway Sports Group is in this thing right now to do that. I don't. I think they're trying to figure out a way to push this team somehow into a playoffs in an Eastern Conference, which surprisingly has gotten weaker.
They're the Steelers right now. They're in the last place you want to live in pro
I wonder
sports.
What fans would think. I wonder what people who have season tickets would think about this. If you go
you know
to
what?
Games.
I bet you people would love to see a young team around Sidney Crosby. They'd love to see young assets coming in here.
Fine.
Clearly, they don't want to watch this.
But if you get a second-round pick, your young asset's not going to be here when Sidney Crosby plays.
I think fans could live with that. Why don't we do that at 1 o'clock after we talk to the big boy, Bob?
Okay, the big boy's coming up.
Yes, Mark Cabali coming up. And then we want to ask Penguin fans, what do you want as the people who are funding this operation, who are paying your hard-earned money for tickets? Would you rather have the Penguins go full rebuild, stay in the mode they're in, or add and try and win in a horrible Eastern Conference as a ticket buyer? We'll talk about that at the top of the hour.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, we're back with more of the Pomp and Joe Show, and this is the time where we welcome in the big boy, Mark Cabali, from the Pat McAfee Show. Mark, it's been a very interesting couple of days. How are you?
What's up, Robert? Long time no see.
And Bob, you could see him on the video.
Hi, Mark. I'm sorry. I'm having headphone issues. Hello. You look very handsome with the glasses on.
Yeah, I'm kind of going bald. I'm bald. I'm kind of going blind. Not bald yet.
So Joe's walking in now after he had a brief respite. We have the big boy on. And Joe, I know that a lot of people are talking about yesterday's...
Hello, big boy.
What's up, Joe? Thanks for joining your own show.
We have a 15-year anniversary coming up, and we're planning it, and you're going to be part of it, I think. Yeah, maybe not, but you might be. I'm sorry, Bob, I interrupted you.
No, I don't. No, go ahead. You have the floor now. You were planning. I should have been in the planning session, but I forgot. But go ahead.
No, it's okay.
As long as I get some free food, I don't care. I'll come.
We might have Vinny on. We might have Seibel. We'll have everybody from the past.
Yes. Yeah,
is Ron Cook making the trip back?
So, big boy, what's going to happen here? Mark Cabali from the Pat McAfee Show. Who's the quarterback going to be next year, in your humble opinion?
Wow. Right now, if you had to really, really pin me down, I'm going to say Justin Fields.
We agree.
But that can change a lot. I mean, first of all, we don't even know if Justin Fields wants to be here. He said he wants to be here until somebody else. I mean, there has to be, what, 7 teams out there looking for a starting quarterback? Maybe he prices himself out of their market and they have to go back to Russell. I don't know. But as we sit here right now, I mean, every indication I get is it would be Justin Fields. And you know what? It makes sense. I'm not going to sit here and complain about Justin Fields being their starting quarterback, because there's only one way to get out of this purgatory of quarterback, you know what, and that is by taking a chance. You're not going to get a guy in the draft. You're not going to get somebody in free agency. You got your hands on a guy who's a top 10 pick. Bring him around and just cross your fingers he turns into a first-round 11th overall pick. You're just basically taking your best opportunity to, try to beat the system here. I think that's the best way to go about it.
You know, we were talking earlier today, Mark, about what you do in terms of planning for this now, so that this cycle of every year going through quarterbacks to try to find the one who actually can be the so-called franchise quarterback. How did they do that moving forward? We've talked about things that could have happened that maybe didn't happen, that you never know how it's going to work with some of these guys. Kenny Pickett was their choice. That did not work. And now they're still searching to the point where they got rid of an entire quarterback room, and they may do the same thing again. When does that end, and how does that end?
Cool. I think you have to be lucky. I mean, even if you get a top 5 pick, that's not going to guarantee you anything. It guarantees you an opportunity at maybe one of the higher-ranked college quarterbacks. But, I mean, look at the Cleveland Browns. They've been waiting 30 years to try to find a quarterback, right? Since maybe Bernie Kosar, maybe Vinny Testaverde. Just because you stink and you draft in the top 10, if you're going to tank or whatever it is or lose, doesn't really mean you're going to be able to get a guy that's going to be to fill that role. I mean, if you're looking into the second and third rounds, the Dak Prescotts and the Jalen Hurts of the world, when does that come around? Once every 5 years? So they're in a bad spot. You just have to, honestly, this is one time in sports, you just have to get lucky. And I think that's where, I mean, with Roethlisberger, they got lucky. I mean, honestly, they picked him, what 11th overall?
11th, yes.
But who, Kellen Winslow right before him?
Kellen Winslow.
I mean,
imagine if that had changed. Imagine right if there. Cleveland took Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
What would the Steelers have done?
Well, they took Njoku over T.J. Watt a decade later, so.
Well, at least Njoku's had a career. Kellen Winslow didn't have much of one, did he?
Not really. Limits?
Mark, would you rather pursue a quarterback like Sam Darnold on the open market or somebody else that's going to be available, or play this season coming up for next year's 2026 quarterback class, which is supposed to be a lot better than the 25 class?
I wouldn't go get Sam Darnold. I mean, that money's going to be outrageous, and you're just absolutely taking a shot in the dark right there. I mean, Sam Darnold had a good season, but you know what the Pittsburgh Steelers don't have? Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, Kevin O'Connor. Is that his name?
O'Connor.
Kevin O'Connor.
Yeah.
They don't have those guys, so that doesn't really mean that he's going to translate somewhere else. And in the free, if I'm going out and trying to get Kirk Cousins and somebody like Daniel Jones, you might as well just keep what you got. You know, bring Russell Wilson back, bring Justin Fields back. I'd rather go with Kyle Allen over somebody like that. I see Quinn Ewers just declared for the NFL draft. I don't know where he falls in this first round, but That's a guy that, you know, if you had an opportunity to get him, I don't think he would be a bad get. I think you're just going to have to keep drafting guys until you find one. I mean, that's the only thing you can really do.
So you would have no interest in the likes of Cousins or Aaron Rodgers or somebody like that?
That's telling me, Joe, that's telling me that you're really, really close to winning a championship. If you're Kirk Cousins coming here, you're Aaron Rodgers. The Pittsburgh Steelers are saying they're a player or two away from winning the Super Bowl. And do you believe that they're a player or two away from winning the Super Bowl?
No, I don't even think those guys would be quarterbacks. In fact, I think those two would prevent me if I had that type of team from winning the Super Bowl. I have zero interest in those two under any circumstance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would much rather, you know, I see that Davante Adams said he wouldn't mind coming here. Now, I would much rather take a flyer on him rather than...
Even at that price tag at $35 million?
Well, I don't think you could keep both him and George. If you get him, then you maybe look at moving George for some draft picks right around the draft. That's something that could be a possibility.
Do you think Pickens will be here next year?
Well, I think it's going to depend on if they can find somebody who's suitable enough to replace him. I mean, if you're going to go in and think that you're not going to find – if you're just going to get rid of him and not have a guy to replace him, then you keep him. If you can be able to assure yourself between March 12th, this new league year, and the draft or whenever free agency ends, it's usually within that week you know who you're going to get or not, then you move on from him. But I think it's a wait and see how the market is around. If you can get somebody, yes. If not, then you're just going to have to grit your teeth and bear, and hopefully he turns into what you think he could be if he's at his best behavior.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. We're burying the lead, Bob. There's a headline on SteelersDepot.com, Kabali.
Uh-oh.
Russell Wilson, Arthur Smith had rocky working relationship. Tell us about that.
Well, I don't know. Rocky. I mean, they just didn't see eye to eye a lot. I was then told that, you know, they didn't have the best working relationship, but they, you know, they battled through it and did what they could do. It's not like it was peaches and cream all the time. But, you know, what's interesting is both of those guys separately are the nicest men in the world.
Well, what would you imagine the issue was? Like, where did they knock heads?
I was not told that. If I'm guessing, I would guess it would be, you know, just game plan type of situation. I think it would be, I don't think it's personality wise. I think it's just X's and O's and what should be done and the way they go about business, maybe. I don't think it's work ethic or anything like that.
Like Russell wanted to throw more, maybe? Or what would you imagine?
I mean, once again, I'm just purely speculating here. I would imagine some near the end there where, you know, they were taking the ball out of his hands a lot and not wanting him to turn the ball over. I want him to be a running team. I'm just purely speculating on this, but I know that what I've been told is, you know, I don't know. And once again, I will preface this with speculating. I've been told and we've heard that, you know, already had preferred potentially Justin Fields. Maybe that had something to do with it, but I am not 100% sure.
Let me ask you this, Mark. Coming up, they're going to have the 21st pick overall. And I realize that they have a lot of things on offense they have to do. They also have a lot of things on defense they have to do now. They have to redraft certain positions, I would imagine. However, we looked at their first-round picks over the last several years, and many of them have not received a fifth-year option, from this year with Najee Harris to Devin Bush to Terrell Edmonds. So how important is it for them to hit a home run with this 21st pick if they keep it? And what do you think that pick would be? Because there are a lot of positions to choose from. There's cornerbacks, wide receivers. They need help in a lot of different places. Quarterback, but I don't know if the right person is going to be there. What do you think they'll do, and how important will that be?
Well, it's obviously it's important. You know what Kevin Colbert always said. If you miss on that first-round pick, man, it sets you back.
And they have.
A couple of years. And they have pretty much missed on that first-round pick. You can't – especially. I mean, maybe not as much now as it was back 10 years ago, because they have opened up free agency a little bit more and more willing to fill some needs there. You could say, okay, they got rid of Devin Bush, but then they added Patrick Queen. I mean, so
but it took a few years for that to happen.
They're different. They never did that before, so it's not as critical as it mm-hmm. once used to be. As for the position, I think you have to definitely look to the offensive side of the ball. You can look at defensively and say that defensive line needs some help. Yeah, but, you know, Benton's there, and you could kick him out where Ogunjobi was and sign a veteran and just move on from there. You know how they don't really value first-round cornerbacks for the most part over their past 25 or 30 years. I think you got to look at the skill positions. I think you got to look at wide receiver. I mean, that's the one that just jumps out to me right now. This draft is supposedly deep in running backs. You can maybe get one or at least take a flyer and hope in the second round for a running back. So right now I would look at wide receiver.
Mark Cabali from the Pat McAfee Show. What about T.J. Watt's future? I have a two-part question. Would you sink, because this is the year going into his final contract year where the Steelers normally pay people. Would you sink another, $100 million into him, or is there a better option, and what do you think they will do?
I think they will. I think they will approach him. I don't know how much his market value is right now. I would imagine it's, 10 bucks more than the highest paid edge rusher out there, right? Whatever that number is going to be. But if I'm TJ Watt, I want to sit down and I want to say, hey, what's the plan here, man? Are you going to actually allow me or help me move around so I don't get chipped constantly, don't get double teamed constantly? Every time I look up, there's three guys on me. Are you going to help me out here, or is this going to be status quo here? If not, if I'm TJ Watt and I really value being that really still does bother me, of not winning a playoff game, not going anywhere in the playoffs, do I just play it out and go check the free agency market next year? So I think they will approach him. And I think they typically don't allow those type of guys to get through. So I do think ultimately they will re-sign him, probably. And like I said, wherever the outside edge rusher is, highest paid, give him a couple more bucks, and that's where he'll sign for.
Do you think that's the prudent way to go? I mean, given all their needs, and maybe they could use some draft equity someplace.
Yeah, you got a known commodity in TJ Watt. I mean, if you're going to take that money and use it somewhere else, I mean, that's because you'd be throwing money away. I mean, you have to
unless you spend it correctly.
Do you want to? You want to have X amount of money in the bank, or do you want to take that money and go play it on the lottery? I mean, the lottery you could hit big, but you also lose all your money.
But I mean, that's not exactly a ringing endorsement of their systems trying to evaluate players. Then, if they look at it as a lottery, I would think listen. Whatever money you spend, you better hit on it. It has to be hit on. If you don't hit on it, then it is a waste of money. But you got to do the research to make sure you hit on it.
They believe that they're close enough that they just need to add pieces, a piece here, a piece there, critical pieces. Mm-hmm. That they don't want to take that big step back and say, here's our best defensive player and forget about him. We're going to move in a different direction. I think they believe that they're close enough that they add a quality quarterback, or Fields plays well, if they add a high-level receiver, that they could be a 10-11 win team again. I don't know if I agree with it or not, but I'm pretty sure that that's what they think.
Why is the notion of trading Tomlin so ridiculous to some people? Because I think it would be a hell of an idea.
Well, is it an idea or is it just the look, I guess. I mean, it's once again, it's like
it sure beats the look of 8 straight years not being competitive in a single playoff game.
What I'm saying is, I don't know, people might say that's a good idea, but then you think about, okay, that's never going to happen because the Rooneys are not going to sit there and say we were dumping our arguably best coach ever, if not the top three, right? Just to trade him, that wouldn't be a good look on the franchise overall. So maybe people think that that's the case. Plus, you don't see it. I mean, you see what? John Gruden? I mean, what other coach has been traded over the years?
To me, that's immaterial. I don't know. It would be. I think wise. Wasn't Bill Parcells traded once? The New York Jets traded first, second, third, and fourth round picks to the Patriots for Bill Parcells. Mike Holmgren was traded. That's what I'm looking at in this story here.
Yeah. I know Gruden was.
Tell me how it would work, though. Like I saw Dulac. Dulac shot it down as, you know, just the most ridiculous thing, and maybe he's right.
Yeah.
How would it work? I mean, obviously, Adam Schefter said recently that teams were interested and one team called the Steelers. Wouldn't it work like a normal trade? Or because Tomlin has a no trade clause, would he suddenly resign or not make it work? Like, I'm just trying to figure out the mechanics of it, Mark. If it would be even in theory a workable solution, because I think it gets you out of, you talk about bad looks. If they're afraid of that, then maybe they're afraid of actually firing him. I think trading him would be a better look for them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand the no trade clause either. Say the Jets call and say, we want Mike Tomlin. Art Rooney says no, and Mike Tomlin says, say he wants to go, say Tomlin wants to go, but has a no trade clause. He could just say, okay, you're fired, and I'm going to go sign there. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it works.
How
I don't
would
know
it how work,
you get paid
Bob?
Either.
Bob, how would it how work if the if the Jets called theoretically, and Art said, yes, we're interested. I'm going to take it. Take it to Mike. Then what?
Mike has it in his contract to say no. I would imagine he'd say no because he's always talked about this. Position.
But don't you know, as the head coach, if they're trying to trade you, that it might not be the best place
to
be?
Yeah, but he may not want to go to the Jets. He may say, I'm not going to that organization, period.
Okay, what if it was a team that he'd be willing to waive his trade for? Then what?
I think everything's worth discussing. I mean, that's in there for a reason. He obviously wanted it. They gave it to him, which makes you think that they don't want to do that. But if something would happen, we've been talking about this with the Penguins, with Malkin and Letang. Approach him and say, you have a no-trade clause, but what about this?
If he insisted on having a no-trade clause, then somebody who represents him or him had the thought and their idea, what if they ever tried to trade me? Otherwise, it would never come up, Mark, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. What got to the point where he said, no, I want this no-trade clause in here? Unless it was always in there and we just heard about it now. But why would this contract be the one where he says, hey, throw that no trade clause in here?
I think it'd be a hell of a way to jumpstart a rebuild because I guarantee you're getting a first round pick for Tomlin.
Yeah. You probably get multiple picks.
Yeah,
for
I
him.
Think depending on the team, I mean, he is viewed nationally very well.
How about
well.
The Bears?
They may be willing to do that.
What about the money, too, Joe?
I agree with Mark. I don't think it's ever going to get to that point, though.
Neither do I. I'm not talking like this is going to happen. I'm talking about the idea of shooting it down as the most ridiculous thing anybody's ever heard when it makes sense to me.
In this day and age, I think anything makes sense.
And I'm wondering if I'm missing something here.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the money-wise. I don't think these are like players' contracts if he just goes somewhere else and the Steelers are on the hook for it. I think he just double dips, right? He gets paid his $16 million here, and he goes to Chicago and get paid.
No, wouldn't the other team pick up the money, Bob?
I don't think a player trade?
I don't know. I would imagine that's probably even negotiable. I don't know.
I know players are different. Players get to double dip one time, but I don't know if that goes for
– Mike Sando is a guy that I respect from The Athletic. Do you like his stuff? You used to work with him, right?
He's a legend.
Mike Sando. Okay, so 2 days ago – this guy says, Mike Sando, I don't think the Tomlin trade happens yet, but at some point it might. Everybody will disappear for a few days, and then somebody is going to ask about staff changes. And if Tomlin bows up, that is when there could be problems. That's what happened with Pete Carroll in Seattle last year. So let me ask you about that scenario. Forget about a trade for now. If Art insists on big changes that Tomlin doesn't want to make, could that lead to a Pete Carroll scenario?
Do you think that was not already discussed, though?
I have no idea. I'm asking you.
That's why I asked him yesterday. What was Art's message to you? And of course, he didn't answer it. I would think if they sat down 2 days ago, this was probably broached. If Art wanted to have different changes and less power, right? You're not going to say, come back, go do your press conference and act like everything's, you know, hunky dory, then all of a sudden, hey, by the way, you're not going to be allowed to do this, this, and this, then you quit. I would imagine that was already discussed.
By the way,
and he was already told that it's not status quo.
Didn't Sean Payton get traded to the Broncos?
Yes.
They dealt Sean Payton and a third round pick to the Broncos. The Saints did, and I know he was out of coaching at that point in exchange for a first round choice and a second round choice. So I don't know. The only thing I'm searching for here is why it gets killed as the most ludicrous idea ever. If I go to Tomlin and say we want to trade you, Mike, then he could cause all kinds of problems. He may say, then I resign. Then you're out of it. Or he may say, no, I'm not going. And then, okay, then you can't trade him, obviously. He has a no trade clause. But he would know then what the organizational plan would be. They want to move on, Bob, right?
Yeah, but I agree with Mark. I don't think it'll ever get to that point. I just don't.
I don't think they want to move on. That's the whole point of this thing.
I know. Well, what changes do you think are coming then? What are the big changes? Artie Smith on the way out?
I don't think he's going to get a head coaching job. So, no, I don't think so. So, I think he would be back. The only two, I hate to throw the names out there because it's speculation, but, I mean, we can all read the tea leaves here and say Terrell Austin might be the sacrificial lamb. And on the other side, I mean, you got a lot of capital invested in that offensive line. Pat Meyer is one hell of a guy, but they did not get better as they did the previous 2 years. Other than that, I mean, we changing the running back coach. I mean, we changing – what are we doing here? What I would like to see is keep Terrell Austin, but bring some kind of defensive assistant in.
These are all cosmetic changes that aren't going to change anything.
A Robert Saleh type of guy – to oversee, like the former head coach. Like when were they at their best? When they had, you know, guys like Brian Flores there, guys like on the other side of the ball, Mike Munchak, Todd Haley, you know, former head coaches. Bring those guys.
Yeah, guys that Tomlin allowed to do their jobs.
Yes. So that's the thing. If anything, I would like to see that. They've done that in the past. You know, bring a guy in, almost have him as the DC, OC in waiting, rather than maybe just dump Terrell Austin because Mike Tomlin wouldn't allow him to do what he wanted to do.
Thank you, big boy. We don't even have time for free association. This is Bob's fault
heard,
that we've gone over
buddy
the hour.
DeFabo really knocked that out of the park yesterday.
Wonderful, man. Yes. Which part?
It wasn't free association. It was free costly. It took too much time.
Yeah,
it wasn't one word. There were a lot of things wrong with it.
Hey, have you heard that Pickens is late to all kinds of things, too? Is that common knowledge around there?
I was happened to be on Bob Pompiani's
pregame show.
Inside the Huddle pregame show on Christmas Day. So I witnessed one George Pickens being tardy. I just
tardy.
Well, I just figured 20 minutes late wasn't bad.
No, it's okay. So it is. It's commonly known there that he's late for things. Yes.
Yeah, he's not AB late. I don't think.
Well, that's a different.
Late
that's
is, AB late
that's
is never
West Coast
show up
time or never show up.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's bad.
He's so late that he never got there.
I'm not sure the extent of his tardiness, but on that day, yeah.
Limits, are you yawning at the end of this?
Yeah, Mark's answers to fixing the defense was boring me a little bit.
All right. Mark, we don't have time for free association. It's Bob's fault we went over the hour.
Blame
I apologize.
Me. I'm a scapegoat, too.
Goodbye. Thank you.
All right,
you
Mark.
Were great.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Limits.
Goodbye, Mark.